Grape wax is a wax-like organic substance that appears as crumbly and waxy, consisting mostly of saturated fatty acids that appear in certain grapes.
On July 10, 1988, a decapitated head was discovered by a group of recreational divers in the Otonabee River. The forensic anthropologist, Dr. Kathy Grespier, determined that the head was deliberately removed using a small, sharp blade, perimortem.
It was also determined that the decapitation could not have been as a result of a boating accident or passing through the nearby lock system. The body was never found, and in 2018, the man and his killer still have not been identified.
This is All That Remains, the story of a sleepy Ontario town, a severed head, and a 30-year-old cold case.
So I'm really curious, what was Peterborough like in the 80s?
It was, it wasn't really less violent. It was just different. Yeah, we had biker gangs. There were bar fights that would literally shut down the streets. You know, you'd have four or five going at a time. The biggest thing back then, it was unusual to find a knife on somebody and very unusual to find a handgun on somebody, whereas that's changed a little bit now. But, in general, it wasn't any different than policing anywhere else in Ontario. My name's Jeff Morgan, and I was the primary investigator on this cold case up until my retirement in June of 2015.
Satan's Choice began as a legal, recreational motorcycle club in 1950. But by 1965, the group had become one of the most notorious biker gangs in Ontario. And by 1970, Satan's Choice had some 300 members and chapters across Canada, making it the second largest biker club in the world.
When I started, it was pretty much a case of being told, if you were meant to have feelings, they would have been issued with your badge. Hi, I'm John Lyons, and I am a staff sergeant with the Peterborough Police Service. We've, over the past few years, we've had a lot of stabbing incidents. That seems to be something we've never experienced. We've always had it, but not in the quantity that we've had it. Guns were never really a part of our fabric when I started, and we're starting to see that a lot more now. We've seized a lot more guns than ever before, and we've had guns used in crime.
No one would expect that this sleepy town would have a dark side. But if you look a little closer, Peterborough has an underbelly filled with poverty, drugs, and violence. The city of Peterborough has always been an industry town, but between the 1970s and 80s, there was a decrease in the male labor force, as many took early retirement and others were forced out of the manufacturing industry. By 1980, the salary for the average male worker was on the decline.
A report about poverty and social issues in the country said that increased unemployment for the older worker also meant an increase in anxiety, suicidality, alcoholism, broken families, loss of income, and prolonged health issues, all of which are social determinants for vulnerability and crime.
Like many industry towns, Peterborough has a long and shameful history of hate crimes, domestic violence, and gangs. Inadequate housing, healthcare, and social programming have left a gap which this community has not been able to fully heal from. The Otonabee Riverman is just one such example.
Flash forward to present day, and there have been a great number of improvements on forensics and crime scene investigation. Those advancements are visible in the improvement of the Riverman's facial approximation. A two-dimensional approximation was done in 1988 using the limited information available, but generated very little interest. However, by 2014, a cranial reconstruction was done using updated technology, which yielded far more accurate results, in the hopes that someone might finally identify this man. Do you ever just wish that you could go back to the crime scene now with everything that you know in present day? Do you think that some details may have just been lost forever because you didn't have the technology?
In this case, I don't think so. It may have given us a DNA profile if we had the DNA back then that we have today. But again, we still haven't had anybody come forward to say, you know, I think that's great Uncle Billy, or that sure looks like my dad's brother or something like that. Or my mom used to talk about her brother that disappeared back in 1920. So regardless of whether we had that today's technology back then, I think we'd still be in the same spot where we are today.
At the time, there were a few missing persons reports that were cross-referenced with the remains, but nothing came of it. Investigation revealed that he was missing some lower molars, likely well before death, and the staining on his remaining teeth suggested that he was a smoker. He may have been bald or partially balding at the time of his death, and his hair may have been dark-colored. The man had signs of arthritis in his jaw, indicating that he would have experienced daily jaw pain. Because there were no missing persons reports matching these descriptors, Peterborough police have speculated that the head may have been brought to Peterborough from elsewhere.
According to a Durham Region article from 2014, a DNA profile of the unknown man is on file with the Ontario Forensic Pathology Service. The case is also listed in several violent crime and missing persons databases from across Canada. A total of 372 potential people have been eliminated throughout the investigation, and no other unidentified body parts have matched the Otonabee Riverman's DNA.
I don't think you can rule anything out. I think that I'm very open-minded. I'm not very set in my ways, even though my age would dictate differently. I really do believe that anything's possible.
But when we asked Peterborough crime reporter Todd Van Donk what he thought about the case, he had something very different to say.
My first thoughts, and my thoughts still are, is I don't think that'll be a case that will be ever be solved. There's just so many possibilities. Good luck. You know, today, totally different story.
So was it biker-related? Gang-related? Was it a vulnerable transient affected by poverty and homelessness? Was it a group of Soviet spies sent to kill a political dissident? Was it a troubled loner who went off the grid and met his fateful end? Was it a serial killer? Was it demons? Although this case has many sensational details, there's very little that we know for sure about who the Otonabee Riverman is and who may have killed him. All that remains is a collection of clues and unanswered questions.
Tune in next time when we delve into what Peterborough was like in 1988. We delve into the Peterborough Examiner archives and what the community knew about this crime, when it happened, and what else was making headlines, including the mysterious case of a Saskatchewan woman who committed murder on Christmas Eve using an axe.
Plus, Jeff Morgan tells us about crime scene investigation, forensics, and how it's changed over the years, and what it was like being a 19-year-old rookie going toe-to-toe with some of Ontario's most prolific biker gangs. We look at the psychology behind decapitation and what this might say about the Riverman's killer.
And why are people so drawn to the Otonabee River? Just how many people have met their end this way? Plus, the gruesome case of a young girl decapitated by a steak knife.
This episode was written and produced by us, Zoe Easton and Zara Syed, with additional help from Peterborough Independent Podcasters and Trent Radio.
Special thanks to Todd Van Donk, Jeff Morgan, and John Lyons.
Music in this episode by Elms. Check out his music at elms.bandcamp.com.
You could understand time like I understand time, not as a sly heap of failures, but as a mountain to climb. I'd give it all back, give it all back, give it all back, give it all back, if only I could understand fire like I understand fire. Not as a lone tree ablaze, but as a forest in flames.